Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you Roots Over Riches, Why Peter Tosh Refused to Sell Out. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. Some men rebel for fame. Some for the rush, some for the crowd. Peter Tosh, he rebelled because his soul wouldn't let him do anything else. He didn't want trouble. He wanted truth. And when he found it, when it burned in his chest like herb on the altar, he knew he couldn't bend. Not for money, not for applause, not even for safety. Peter didn't play the rebel. He was the rebel. Because the world he saw wasn't broken by accident. It was built that way. Built to silence voices like his. Voices that refused to lie. From the beginning, Peter had a compass inside him that no system could twist. When the Wailers started rising, they were offered everything, but at a cost. Softened lyrics, watered down messages, smiles for cameras that didn't care. Peter said no, every time, even when it meant walking alone, even when it meant losing the spotlight. Because he didn't sing for charts, he sang for change. People say he was too angry, too aggressive, too raw. But that's what happens when you won't filter your truth through a marketing team. Peter didn't believe in censorship. He believed in clarity. And clarity? Clarity cuts. He once said, "Me music is not for entertainment. It is for retribution. Retribution against the lies. The schools that taught African children they came from nothing. The laws that made holy herb a crime. The religions that preached white salvation while burning black prophets." Peter didn't want to make people feel good. He wanted to make them feel everything. Even his wardrobe was a statement. Not designer, not polished, but purposeful. Military jackets, boots, red, gold, green. He dressed like a man at war with illusion. Because he was. A war against complacency. A war against colonial memory. A war against the spiritual amnesia Babylon injects into the minds of the masses. He never played polite. Not for the queen. Not for record labels. Not for TV hosts who smirked at his message and called it, "Just we'd talk." Peter would correct you on live air if you misquoted Selassie. He'd walk off stage if a promoter tried to censor his set. He'd cancel a show if herb wasn't allowed. Because to him, compromise was betrayal. And still, he wasn't reckless. He was principled. Every decision came from code. A code rooted in Rasta. In Africa. In truth older than the Bible. He said, "Me not about a man. Me serve only Jah. And Jah don't like hypocrites." There's a story that captures him perfectly. A journalist once asked, "Peter, if you could be more diplomatic, wouldn't your message go further?" Peter stared him down, smiled, and said, "Diplomacy is for liars. Me talk straight. If it reach one man's heart in truth, that's further than 1,000 ears in denial." He walked away from deals that would have made him rich. Walked away from tours that required him to trim his sermons. He stayed in Trenchtown long after he could have bought a mansion uptown. Why? Because the ghetto needed to see someone who never sold out. Someone who looked Babylon in the eye and said, "Me still here." Peter once walked into a press room where everyone expected him to promote a new album. Instead, he pulled out a Bible and a chalice and said, "This is me record deal. This is me herb. This is me truth. You want Rasta? Come here, Rasta. If not, walk away. No theatrics. No bluff, just a man who knew who he was, and refused to pretend otherwise. Even his silences were political. When he refused to accept awards from institutions that ignored his messages, when he didn't show up to photo ops with the elite, when he stayed in the bush for weeks, reasoning with elders and roots men instead of doing interviews, he wasn't anti-fame, he was anti-falsehood. Peter never gave the world what it wanted. He gave it what it needed, and sometimes what it needed was a flame. Not a hug. And that's what made him dangerous. Not his lyrics. Not his herb. But his integrity. Because when a man like Peter walks into a room, it doesn't matter what he says. His very presence is a challenge. A question. A mirror. Do you live by your truth? Or do you wear it when it's convenient? And now. Now we live in a world full of noise. Full of false prophets. Of branded rebellion and filtered resistance. And when we feel that emptiness. That ache. That something's missing. It's not just nostalgia. It's the space Peter used to fill. It's the voice that refused to bend. It's the silence where a code once stood. So if you light a candle for Peter, don't just mourn. Measure yourself. What is your truth? Where do you bow? What would you die for? Because Peter showed us it's not enough to sing about justice. You have to live it, even if it costs you everything. He was more than a rebel. He was a man with a cause rooted in fire, fueled by courage, and lived with a discipline so rare, it still echoes every time Babylon whispers. Just play along.